12-3154, U.S. versus William Martin. Hello, Mr. Gable.
Good morning, Your Honor. If it pleases the Court, my name is Thomas Gable. I'm Assistant Federal Public Defender from the Southern District of Illinois. Today we're here on the case of United States of America versus William Martin. Back in 2010, Mr. Martin was arrested for child pornography. He actually pled guilty, he was charged in 2011. He pled guilty in 2012. The argument today is about the reasonableness of the sentence. As in most cases, after the sentencing guidelines got done, my client was above the statutory range of punishment. The sentencing judge imposed a sentence of 120 months.
Right, which would. Yeah. So I have only one question for you. And, I mean, you put a lot into your brief, and a lot of it was the empirical evidence about the child pornography guideline and all of that. But there is an element that you raise that does concern me, which deals with the mental health issues that Mr. Martin suffered from. And I take it that's very clear in the PSR that he has this record of depressive disorder, dysthymia, what have you, maybe bipolar. I guess some people think that's doubtful. So that's the argument that really grabbed my attention looking at our earlier cases. I'm concerned that the judge got so overwhelmed with these 10,000 feet up arguments that he may have overlooked the actual argument about Mr. Martin and his mental health problems.
Your Honor, part of the problem on this appeal is that the factors raised in the sentencing memo were not addressed when the judge decided to sentence Mr. Martin. And he, instead of looking at my client's mental health issues or the fact that the reoffending rate for a possessor of child pornography who has not touched a child is low.
Well, that
he went with his gut feeling.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's my feeling that, you know, the guideline is what the guideline is. There's been a lot of writing about it. But we at the moment simply have to take it as the guideline. We have said that district courts are entitled to impose guideline sentences. But district courts also need to discuss the primary arguments that a defendant makes under 3553A. And I worry, in your case, that the judge saw so much in the way of recidivism rates in general for people who view child pornography and all kinds of things that he passed over mistakenly this mental health argument.
I would say that the district judge focused on the reasons he had decided to sentence without addressing any of the parts that we raised, Your Honor.
Well, he does say that the guidelines, you know, reflect a judgment that these are very serious crimes. He talks about things that didn't seem to me impermissible things to talk about. It's that he doesn't talk about Mr. Martin as an individual in his situation.
That's what I'm inarticulately trying to say. He did not address the individual in this case. Every case should have a particularized sentence addressing the current defendant, and that wasn't done here.
But you would you agree or not that the guidelines, people phrase these things very carefully, so maybe somebody like Mr. Martin isn't likely to go out and commit a contact offense with a child, but somebody like Mr. Martin might go out and look at websites again.
Your Honor, whether or not after treatment he would or would not is going to be speculation. I do not know.
Right, but I guess by saying that he's not going to commit a contact offense, you're not really engaging in quite what's at issue here.
I would tell you, I would hope he wouldn't, but like
Well,
with all this,
yeah.
You know, we come down to what I expect. I wouldn't expect he would. The judge commented on the fact he was extremely embarrassed to be there and that he ashamed himself and recognized he ashamed himself. Would he put himself at risk like that again? I'd hope not.
I'm going to ask both of you, what do you think the court meant when he said, this is not a sentence I feel good about?
I believe the judge does not believe that Mr. Martin can be helped and that the only way to protect society is to send him to prison.
Yeah, and yet he gave him a break by capping his sentence 1 month below the recommended guideline range.
No, well, he gave him a 120-month sentence,
yeah,
and that was it. That's all he could give him, Your Honor. Possession of child pornography is a 10-year sentence.
Yeah, it's a statutory maximum.
That's true.
Yeah.
So he gave him every day he could give him.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. You're right.
And I would believe if he had more of a range, you would have gave him more.
I wasn't thinking. Yeah. Okay.
And that's the big issue is what's already been addressed, Your Honor. Whether or not the judge tailored his sentence to meet the individual demands of the current defendant in front of him. And, Your Honor, barring any other questions, I'm going to let the United States Attorney stand up and talk.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Hi, Mr. United States Attorney Clark. How are you?
Good morning, Your Honor.
You're
our
caboose. No, you're not. You're our caboose.
Okay. Your Honor, just to address that last, or rather the first question from Judge Wood, with respect to the mental health issues, I would grant you that the judge did not go into this in great depth, but he did refer to the history and characteristics of the defendant in that he is a disturbed young man, and he's had a very, very difficult life, and he's ashamed of his actions.
But is that anywhere near enough? I mean, this is a person with diagnosed mental illness, and I'm concerned that that really doesn't grapple, as I've put it before, with this person's mental illness and how that should affect the sentence that's appropriate.
Well, I think that what the judge was required to do was to take the defendant's arguments into account. And
but how has he done that? I looked at that same passage, and I just don't see a discussion that, you know, when he's on his medications, he's more or less likely to do things. You know, whatever he might want to say. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but I don't see an engagement with it.
I would agree with you that it is a sparse comment on that particular issue, but he nevertheless is.
I think he overlooked it, actually. I think there was just so much of this other material there that he forgot it was there.
Well, he was aware of the arguments presented by the defense. It's very clear that that is the case because he addressed almost every other one of the arguments raised by the defendant. It's simply that he placed more emphasis on these other factors. I don't know that I don't believe that he's required to address at great length any of the factors in particular, as long as he comes up with a reasonable sentence that takes into account the various 3553A factors.
Well, these were pretty prominent and significant health issues, weren't they?
They were, Your Honor.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, this was a within-guideline sentence. The judge made clear that he understood that the guidelines were advisory and not mandatory. He did consider the memoranda of the parties, but preferred to focus on the seriousness of the crime and the protection of the public. I believe that the sentence being a within-guideline sentence was an appropriate sentence and was reasonable in this case. And if you have no further questions, I'd simply ask that you affirm.
I have just one observation, or maybe it's a question you don't know the answer to, and that is when someone comes in with a mental health problems, and they're put in prison, obviously. They're not exactly on the front row of favorites in prison. And I don't know what that does psychologically for someone. Is there, in assigning the prison... is that taken into consideration, in the, not just the sentencing, but where he goes and that sort of thing?
There are mental health facilities that can address these such issues, Your Honor, both physical issues as well as mental issues. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you which one's off the top of my head, and I don't know specifically
Butner's
what...
One.
Pardon me?
Butner's the one that first, you know, that immediately comes to mind. They used to do a great job there. I don't know.
I do know that Springfield has a facility, but I don't know that it addresses mental health issues. A facility for medical issues. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that it addresses mental health issues.
Rochester. Yeah, there are. But okay.
Okay. Thank you.
How much time? 2 minutes.
Your Honor, to further amplify on your question, my client was sent to Marion. Marion now is a facility that mostly houses sex offenders. So he did not go to one.
Is it, and, that, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Marion, with the transfer of most of the high security prisoners to Colorado, has transferred its mission. So about 70% of your offenders at Marion are now sex offenders. If you have any other questions, Your Honor.
We thank you so much, both parties, and the case will be taken under advisement.